Loud. Talking Bollocks, a Go Loud original podcast. Sponsored by Right Style Furniture. Right price, right style, right now. Visit rightstyle.ie.
Go Loud. Sounds better with us.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your whip in the crowd. Tell your body okay. Walk it hard and slow. When you finish that.
The hip knocker.
Are you in the middle of turning your house into a home? Get down to Roy Soil Furniture, an Irish family-run spot that are actually sound. I won't sell you a sofa that looks like it's out of a skip. The house package sales are unreal. Sofas, beds, dining sets, the full works from just €3,649. Plus, they're in Fonthill, Belgard and now Omni Park as well. Open 7 days a week and late on Thursdays and Fridays in Fonthill and Omni. Handy if you're working all day. I got my corner sofa off them and I need the fire brigade to get me up off the thing. Visit www.roystyle.ie and use the promo code GET10 for 10% off.
I watched a film yesterday for the first time in about 100 years, right? The Django or something it was called.
Django, yeah.
It was brilliant. It was brilliant. It was. And I was in Barcelona last week, right? Sitting in a bar, watching a western, right, that I've seen when I was about 12, right? I went into a bar and all the little elves are sitting there, they're all looking at a western with Burt Lancaster in it and Robert Mitchum. And I went, I've seen that when I was about 10. And I watched the whole film in the bar in Barcelona with my wife. But Django, I think it was
Django,
called. It was brilliant.
Jamie
it was,
Fox,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Jamie Fox, yeah.
Great film, it is great film.
And it was the one that was another famous actor at the
DiCaprio.
End. He was a snake.
DiCaprio, yeah. Leonardo
no,
DiCaprio.
No, not him.
No?
The other fella that was ratting on him. Come on.
We haven't seen Django in a long time now,
well,
really.
The older man at the very end, he was the butler to
Samuel L. Jackson.
Samuel L. Jackson. Right. My mate, Neville Chamberlain, when I was manager of Bowes, come over to Bowes to watch a game. And this was 20 odd years ago. And someone said to me, who was that? I said, stop, will you? Who was that? I said, Samuel L. Jackson. Right? That's the truth.
And that's Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain's dad?
Yeah. No, uncle.
Uncle.
Mark was his dad. He was over as well. But he watched a call and I said, that's Samuel L. Jackson. And no one queried it and questioned it. So for years, I'd say, oh, geez, what these great mates with Samuel L. Jackson. Just the biggest supporter of Bowes in the world. So somewhere along the line, Daniel Lambert being good at what he does, he met up with him and put a jersey on him.
I wouldn't be surprised if he was on a jersey now next season.
There you will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry, you haven't been on one, Ruddy.
No, I'm getting back in.
Yeah.
I was blacklisted. Like, I was wiped off the history of the club. Is that what you call it?
Yeah.
Gone. And then I had a good meeting with Daniel there about 12 months ago. And we sat down and I said, I've no problem with the club. I always loved the club. And he said, we've no problem with you. All your crowd are gone. So it's great. Go to all the games now, you know.
Yeah, lovely. Roddy, we were just talking about your book there a minute ago, right? So if you haven't noticed, Roddy Collins is this week's co-host. Thanks for coming in, Roddy.
No
I have
problem.
To say, I rang you last week and you were like, no problem. What day, what time? I'll be straight in. You're the only ever person who was asked us to address code on the podcast.
Can I ask you this?
Go ahead.
Can I ask you this? What's a co-host?
Someone who hosts with you. Co-host, two hosts.
Right.
Sometimes more than one host is a co-host, didn't it?
Yeah, because Terence is out.
Right.
So you're
so in Terence, am I?
This week, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Get well soon, kiddo. But postcode. Come here.
Dress code.
Oh, dress code.
You said, what's the dress code?
Dress
I said,
code.
Whatever you want.
Well, I thought we were on camera, so I didn't want to have to side down, so I just thought, you know what, I'll go casual because I knew you'd be torn up in a tracksuit or something, so I just went casual, yeah.
But your book, Roddy, yeah. So I always tell everybody, and every time I'm going away, I like to download an audio book to listen to.
Yeah.
And one thing we always say when we have someone on the podcast who's promoting a book, I think whoever, especially if it's a biography, whoever the book is about should have first preference for doing the audio version of it. I hate when, like, it's an actor's book and you listen to it and it's someone else fucking reading it. I hate that.
Yeah.
But your book, you read yours, and I tell everybody, they're probably sick of hearing me talking about it now, it's one of the best pieces of entertainment, the best pieces of media you're going to get. Don't know how many hours it'll take you to get through it, but let's say it takes you 4 hours worth of listening. It's the best 4 hours worth of listening you're going to get.
No pressure there, Jay.
You don't have to be, like, your book, it's very centric around boxing, football, and Dublin. Yeah. Yeah. And I know a lot of people will be turned off by the three of them.
Yeah.
But you don't have to be a fan of Van. You don't go into detail in all of them that you'd be like, what's he on about? Yeah. You're just invested in it and you're hearing you tell the stories. Unreal. And I tell everybody, if you're ever stuck for an audio book, go on to Roddy Collins' book, The Rod Father.
Well, you know what, Calvin? Thanks for that, by the way. But that was the one, probably the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, was doing that. Now, there was no audio book when the book was written and the whole lot and it came out. They said, we're not doing an audio book. It's not happening. So I didn't care. It didn't bother me anyway, you know. Next of all, I'd done a podcast or something. It could have been here with yourselves. I don't know where it was. Next of all, got a phone call. Do you want to do an audio book, but they want you to do it? And I went, well, how does that work? Right? So I remember I went out to Paul Feegan. He's out in Coolock. He does it for all the Penguin books. And I remember going out there and sitting in a little with a monitor. And I had to read what I already knew.
Yeah.
And I'm very impatient, Calvin. So I'd start the sentence and cut half of it out and get to the end. No, start again. It was a 4-day job. A couple of quid every day. And I said, well, stretch this one out. I got 8 days out of it. Now, genuinely, the first 4 days, we only got to chapter 17. And I think it's about 24 chapters in the book, right? So I was getting a nice little learner a day. So I said, listen, what are we going to do? He said, I'll ring the crowd in London. It's the crowd in London who dictate all this, you know? So the girl said, oh, no, this has to be finished. We're really happy with it. And wherever it takes, it takes. So I thought, lovely, coming near to Christmas, I'll get something out of it. Anyway, 6 days, it was nearly done. So 7 and 8, I purposely got it wrong.
Yeah.
I kept tripping myself. Well, go back to the start. Okay, can we have another cup of tea? Blah, blah. Anyway, 8 days.
Lovely.
I got paid for 4. I wasted 4 days. But it was very difficult. And I said to Paul, I jacked up twice. I said, Paul, I genuinely can't do it because you get it wrong.
Yeah.
And you feel like the biggest dunce in the school and you're sitting in the corner at dunce's hat. He said, hold on. And he put Roddy Doyle on. Listen to Roddy Doyle. I said, Jays, he's worse than me. And then we went and I haven't listened, obviously, because as you know yourself, I'm sure.
Listening
to your own voice is the worst voice on the planet to listen to, you know, so.
I remember listening to Roddy and I was like, this is fucking great. I don't want to get too bogged down on it. Yeah. I remember one of my favourite parts is when you're talking about your dad and I paused and I took a breath. I was like, fucking hell, you can hear it in your voice.
Yeah.
And I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And that's when I knew, and that's near the start of the book. That's before you even go off on your own journey. I was like, fucking hell, that's powerful. And I don't know if you can you buy an audio book for people? Don't worry, you get stocking fillers, people buy books for people. Can you buy the audio version? If you can get your hands on the audio version, get it, listen to it, recommend it to a friend. It's unbelievable.
But you know, it's gas. It's 3 years out, or 2 years out, I think, is it? This month. It's getting more recognition now than ever. I'm getting, like, a fella done a podcast, I was telling you earlier, a football historian, he's based in the UK, and he put something up last Sunday, and 500,000 people have looked it up till today. I've got 4 phone calls from the UK. How are you, Rod? People I know. Come here, have you got a book yet? Where can we buy it? I don't know. Haven't a clue. And here, I went into Supermikes today, and Chris behind the counter, who sponsors my son, went into thanking for helping Porrick. He said, Rod, eight people, have spoken to him in the last month that are reading the book. So I'm getting more feedback now
than I did.
And then last week, there was an inquiry from a company, right, I can't name them, who's talking about making it into a film. Now, I don't know how that works.
Right.
And I know I'm not part in that, but it's just mad. It's changed everything for me, Calvin. I can tell you that now. Walking around like a lost soul, wondering what was it all about. Suddenly, Paul Howard rings me, you get a book. I'm on stage. I'm in here, which is regular. I'm on stage, regular. I'm going to the Talk Sport to do a 6-part series as a presenter. And brilliant.
Yeah, like,
it's great.
Yeah, swings and roundabouts, right?
That's gas.
Swings and roundabouts.
Yeah, it's gas.
What we do now, Roddy, because Harness is not here, we just get listener questions. But I have 2 questions for you, right?
Yeah.
So you're talking about yourself, they're making a film. It's basically going to be about your life, yeah?
It's about what's on the book. And you said, Calvin, it's an autobiography. I would rather say it's stories about my life. It's not my life story.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, there's loads that didn't go into it.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons, you know. But
for tax reasons.
Well, no, we won't go down that road. But stories of my life. Like, they're all stories. And as you said, it's not a story about football. Like, you know that one. The footballer you know, the rags to riches.
Yeah.
I went the opposite way.
You went riches to rags.
I went riches to rags. I did. I was meant to go into Takeover Bowls. I was broke when it was finished. 3 years later, I got the price for a cup of tea. So my book is in reverse. So as you say, it's not like, oh, I went to trial and I did the dead, the dead, the dead. It's not like that. But it's all true stories that happened.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then my other question was, because we were talking outside about motivation and man management. And I remember when you were in with us before, you said the key to management is you just have to motivate them and have loads of money. Tactics and all goes out the window.
No, well, motivate them, organise them, and not even the money. Not even the money. I always, when I sat with a player, the last thing I ever discussed was money.
No, but I meant as a football club has to have money.
I have to be able to pay them. Yeah. Of course, yeah. You have to be able to pay them. No, look, if you get the right fellas and a bit of respect, look, it's, I keep saying, it's like a pot of stew. You know, you can't have all superstars. You have to have an owl onion in the pot, a few sausages. Well, it's like a coddle and a shoe mix, you know what I mean? So you throw them all together, you motivate them, you instruct them, you give them a bit of tactical stuff and let them off and let them bust. They're going down it now for Laverna. A gang of youngsters, you know, my son's mates went up to six defeats in a row, went up last week, a little bit of structure, good youngsters, very enthusiastic, a little bit of structure, and they won, and then they won again the weekend, you know, so it's brilliant. It's brilliant, and motivation is a key, 100%.
So do you think you could take your management skills, Roddy, and apply them to everyday jobs or roles? So do you think you could manage a deli?
No problem.
Yeah?
I could do anything.
I'd love to see you managing a barber's. Do you know what I mean?
No
sit
problem.
Down there, what you want, you know, you're getting this.
No problem.
Next.
Yeah. No problem, no mirrors in it.
Yeah.
Get in there, go get out.
Yeah.
You can judge you when you get home.
Yeah.
Look, I've done a motivational talk, not motivation, I've done a talk for Best for Travel Company, and they've 14 shops, so they had 14 managers of all the shops, and I went in and I'd done a management talking, and it was the exact same thing as football management. Management is management.
Yeah.
That's what's called management. And I threw in one thing and I said, look, if this arose, what would you do? And Jeff Collins owns the company, my cousin. And she said, I'll go straight to Jeff. And I said, well, then you're not a manager. Why is he paying you to manage a shop? When you're going to him, you've got to manage. So, and managing is it comes in various different ways. It's not in the manual. There's no exact science. Like, for argument's sake, I was managing a football team. My best player. He was my maddest, but he was my best player. He'd come in and you'd know he was out half the night drunk. Pretend you didn't know, right? He'd be your best player, but you'd pull him on a Tuesday, find him, get a bit of evidence that he was out, and do it that way instead of making a big row. So look, manage a deli shop? Not a bother, but I'll tell you what I would do. I'd feed the customers properly. And do you know what I noticed, honestly? When you go to a deli shop and if you see a very slightly built person behind the counter, you're getting a little portion. That's a fact. You know, if I go to a deli shop, I'd go in and get a wrap, right? And I'd be looking and go, oh no, excuse me, give us a wrap. That's a fact. It must be psychological.
Yeah.
You know, I'd say, you're not feeding yourself there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Feeding me my big outfit there and I need a bit of packing out. But yeah, look, I can do anything. Well,
the confidence
serious.
Is amazing.
I walked into a place around the corner here, the Westbury Hotel, 30 years ago, and the mall beside it, they were doing this MF, they're doing it outside here now, MF system. It's a metal stud partition. It's out there and it's a ceiling. I never seen it in my life. Never. I got a contract for 500,000. Right? 500,000. And I went up to Gypsum and I said, Mike Walsh was the rep. I said, come here, show me how you do that, will you? And he showed me. And I went to a meeting in the Westbury Mall and they're all down their suits and their clip and their folders and all that, you know? And they're all looking around. And I says, where do you want the MF99? None of them knew what it was. I didn't know what it was, but no one else knew what it was. Whatever you think. And I got the job. And over a period of about 3 years, I probably done 500 grand contracts between that and that. So, come here. Figure it out. I told you the last time, didn't I?
Fake it till you make it.
Well,
isn't it?
I mean, look, it's okay. I can't land an aeroplane, but I'd have a good old bashery.
Would you, Roddy, if you're on the flight home now, because you love your excursions to Spain.
Yeah.
You're on the flight home, there's 20 minutes to go, we're approaching landing, and it comes on the intercom, there's a problem with the pilot. We need someone to step up to the plate. Are you putting your hand up?
No, I'll go and grab your parachute and jump. No, you know when you're going on a flight, right? This is true. Oh, what did that go? You get on a flight, right? And 16 and 17 are the best seats on a Ryanair flight.
The emergency exits.
Yes. And when you go there, the air hostess comes down and she goes, excuse me, sir. Yeah. Would you mind if we have a difficulty in helping out? No problem. So blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking, the only information I'm going to give if we have a problem is, follow me, I'm out of here. There's none of this opening doors and down chutes. I'm gone. So, but it is plenty of leg room there. But I did walk with a fella who took an airplane down. Mick Darcy was his name. He had a scrapyard over in New Street, but he walked on the building site with us as well. And he came in, he said he was coming back in Lanzarote, and the pilot had a heart attack. So he was used to playing with the, what's it called, them yokes?
The joysticks.
Joysticks. When he was, this is 40 years ago. And he said he jumped in, took it down, a little bit bumpy, took it down, and off he went. And we got that on the canteen break. Jesus, unbelievable. I went into a pub in New Street about 20 years later. Stephen Rooney owned it up there, and he owns the one around the corner here now, the Thomas Moore. Stephen, great bloke. So I went into his friend and I said, "Ah, oh, jeez, Mick Darcy." He says, "Mick." He says, "Yeah." I says, "There's some boy on him." He says, "Did he tell you the story about when he landed the plane from Lanzarote?" He says, "Yeah." Don't mind him. He says, he tells everyone, never even in Lanzarote in his life. So well, to me, I was going around thinking for 20 years, well, if Mick can land or I can land, you know. But look, sure.
Have you got any questions from the listeners, Siobhan? Have you got?
We don't have listener questions at the minute, but we have kind of some scenarios that we'd like to put to you, Roddy.
Yeah, no, but
they're a little bit weird. Some
good
of them
luck.
They're hypothetical and kind of gonna, like the way you said there, you think you could manage a deli. The first one is actually, I want you to imagine you're the manager of a deli.
Yeah.
Or this person has come to you for advice. So I'm the manager of a deli. One of the team keeps arranging slices of ham in the shape of the word ham. Sorry, I didn't read it before I started saying it. One of the team keeps arranging slices of ham in the shape of the word ham in the canteen. It's not bothering anybody but me. I suspect they all know who it is, but they're sticking together. On the one hand, I want to lay down the law and say it's not acceptable. Sorry, this is so ridiculous. And say it's not acceptable to be wasting 4 to 6 slices of good deli quality ham every day. Sorry. It's because I know Owen wrote it. That I can't take it seriously.
Is that a real question?
Owen created this hypothetical.
I created it?
Yeah.
Alright, oh, some special walking.
No, they're hypothetical.
Oh, they used to walk in a deli though, so this could be true.
Maybe.
So, on the other hand, I can see how the shared secret has brought them together, and I think the more I act annoyed, the more they bond over it. What's more important here, team unity or my authority as a leader?
So, team unity. Yeah.
So don't,
because you're leading. No, you're the leader. So just because you're the leader, you're leading a team. If the team is working, it's not. You can't make it personal. That's your job done. It's like management, team management. There could be something that's galling you and annoying you, but if everything's working and everything's smooth and everything's functioning, you know, you got on with it and you stick the ham in the roll the next morning and you eat it yourself. don't waste it. Yeah, ham, yeah. What was that? Remember that in the telly?
Yeah, ham, remember that?
In the draw, the accent.
Yeah. What was it, 25 today? You big ham, yeah, or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, that's right, his birthday, yeah. Your birthday as well, isn't it?
My birthday,
lovely,
yeah.
Big birthday cake coming in there.
When this goes out, yeah, Thursday, yeah. My birthday, yeah, 32.
Good man, 32, only a baby. 23.
Listen to
I'm
this.
56.
Listen to this one, Roddy. I was out the weekend, yeah. And a fellow I know was there, and he'd born in the years on me, but he was with a girl and I was chatting to her and she goes, you must be young, eh? I was like, take a guess how old I am. And she goes, 20 something. I goes, no. I says, I'm 32 on Thursday. And she goes, it's my birthday on Thursday as well. I goes, fuck off. Took her idea, yeah. 13 to the 11th, 2000.
That's mad.
When I seen 2000, I nearly got sick. I'm 93. And I looked at her and I said, oh my God. But then I was thinking, like, she's bleeding. She's 25 on Thursday. I was like, she's bleeding a fully grown woman, basically. Yeah, you know what I mean? But to me, that's a nipper.
Exactly. But look, I've, as you know, when I got a contract in England, I got a forged birth certificate. We all know that in the Blue Lion, right? So I figured it out now.
Sorry, the Blue Lion's like a famous pub in Dublin, Siobhan. Do you know where it is? Yeah, it's actually a curry shop now. It's one of his restaurant. It's on Parnell Street. It was like one of the... Everyone who's from Dublin knows the Blue Line.
Yeah.
Everyone from town knows the Blue Line.
Yeah, you could get on, you want the Blue Line. But anyway, I remember that. So I've worked it out. I'm 56 now for 1 year.
That's how it's supposed to work.
No, I'm 65, but I'm 56 for 1 year. I reversed it backwards, right? But I'm going to be, you know what I mean? I'm going to be 66 next year, but for 1 year, I'm 10 years younger. So you can be 23. Now, I don't want to be young. I'm happy.
I'm confused. Do you how are you walking that one out? Like, what? So I should tell everyone I'm 23.
23, right?
Sorry.
Yeah. And then next year, you'll be 33, which you will be.
Right. And then what, the year after that, I'll be 43?
No, just leave it out. Leave it out. But you get 1 year, you get 10 years back for 1 year. I'm getting at the moment. I'm not getting away with a 50 year up out of that 50. But no, my uncle Roddy O'Rourke, he's the elder lemon. He's Roddy one. There's four of us. He's Roddy one. I'm two. Then there's his son, and then there's my son. And he does that. He reverses it. He was 48 there 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. 48 out in Lanzarote, jumping around like a lunatic. 48 years.
He's
85 next year. Yeah. Right. So, but anyway, that's just a little trick if you want to knock gears off.
You won't get away with it, but go on, you can give it a bash.
Yeah.
Right, we have another scenario for you. I'm the owner and manager of a small but popular go-karting track. We're small, but we take pride in being a family-run place with great team spirit. However, just down the road is a much larger go-karting track owned by a large investment firm. They have all of the modern kit and it's a much slicker operation than us, but it's soulless and impersonal. I hate them and they hate me, and that's okay. They take most of the business in the town and we just get by, but now I'm worried it's all at risk. At a recent event in the town, something was said between the staff from both places and it got heated. Their owner got up on stage and demanded retribution for the smart comments. In front of everyone from the area, he challenged me to a 120-lap kart race. He wants to take four from each of our teams and have them rotate in a continuous race to 120 laps. That's a lot for a go-kart. And we only have four on her whole staff, including Norma, the receptionist. And Norma can't drive. And she's very nervous about the karts in general. And then there's Colin, the mechanic, who has a very small bladder and can't go more than 20 minutes without the toilet. How is he going to do his laps without a pit stop? But Norma is going to have to race, and Colin. We all are, because if we back down, then it's over. The whole town will know who the top dog is in karting around here. This go-kart track has been in my family for generations, and I can't be the one to let it fall apart. Not to this arrogant corporate shower down the road.
That's real.
So how do I turn my ragtag bunch of misfits into a race-winning team? How do I make them believe we can achieve their possible? It's hypothetical, Roddy.
No, I do. I'd sell my company to the bigger company. No, but that's what I do. So, well, come here. That's a big hell ask, isn't it? You have no chance. You can't.
I told you we were going to get a film out. Roddy Collins motivates this ragtag team of misfits underdogs to beat the big boy here. Like, you know that film, Dodgeball?
The go-kart. Remember the toboggan?
Kill Runnings.
Yeah.
So we thought we were going to get the Roddy Collins answer to that, and he's like, no, fuck that.
Listen, there's times in your life, Calvin, when you have to realise you can't take on City Hall. You just can't do it. So in that situation, you know, you just got to accept they're going to take over, right? You're not going to survive. You're going to try and take them on and race them around with three people. One has to go to Jack's every 5 minutes. The other two, one can't drive. Blah, 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 blah. Just go down, knock on the door and say, listen, buy my one off me. Simple as that. Boy, and there'll be no competition. And off you go. Yeah, that's the only solution to that one.
That'd be a great film, wouldn't it? Like, this is going to be great 20 minutes in, ready soon in the check.
Yeah, that's it. No, but let's talk reality. You know what I mean? Like, you could sit here and talk about, yeah, well, we'll do this and we'll do that and do that. But in life, sometimes you have to realise you're fighting a losing battle. And if that was true, right? That's like Lidl opening a big store and the little corner shop down the road saying, we're going to take you on and we're going to sell more ham than you and more rashers and blah, blah. No, you're not. Yeah, no, just close up and open a barber's or something. Or make rooms upstairs or something. I'd love to be a barber.
Would you?
Yeah, love it.
Why?
Because I think my barber back in the day was Liam Sullivan from Greek Street. He'd a place of Stony Bat. His son still has it now. And you go into Liam, and Liam knew everybody's name. He knew your ma's name, your granny's, and everyone else's ma's and dad's and all, everyone's name. And he'd spend 20 minutes cutting your hair, leaning on your shoulder, talking about your uncle Jack and when you played and thing, your brother boxing in here, and blah, blah, blah. The hair could take 1 minute. Yeah. But he dragged it out because there was no one else in the shop.
Yeah.
And he was brilliant. And I loved going into Liam Sullivan, right? But I'd love that end because I love talking to people, you know, let's be honest about it.
Come here. If you had a barber's, what would you call it, Roddy?
The Rod Fathers.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. And it's like Stephen Jumpner was trained to be a barber there. Stephen has a barber shop up in Cardiff. Well, he leases it out. But we were saying, we'll either open a coffee shop called the Rod Fathers. I'd love to have a little coffee shop where all the memorabilia in it, you know, and all the old football pictures, the boxing pictures and the whole lot, and or a barber shop like that. But see barbers now. When you went in to get a haircut when I was young, they did scissors, they did a comb, they did this, they did that, and they did that. You go in now and have a shape shearer. That's what it is. No scissors, no shape, no make on it. 20 quid out you go. Like a sheep shearer, that's what it's like.
And the rest, 20 quid?
Is it?
Where are you getting your haircut?
My hair is done by Rose Boyle. I call it Rose Boyle hairstyle. Right. I go to Rose Boyle and she does my hair, whatever way she does it, right? And anyone out there that wants a Rose Boyle hairstyle, yeah, you can get it on Facebook.
It looks fresh now, right?
I go to Rose Boyle. And it's not dyed, right?
For a 56-year-old, it's fresh.
Well, 56 for 1 year. See that, Calvin? I have to explain. I go and meet people I went to school with or grew up or played football when I was a kid. They talk to me, hair they do. What are you looking at?
Yeah.
What are you looking at me hair for? It's not dyed, look. And it's not. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, it is. No, it's not.
No, because if it was dyed, it'd be epoxy dye.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it looks better that way, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't dye my hair
that way, you know what I mean?
I was actually hoping to go grey a bit quicker, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? But look, it is what it
is.
I'd
rather go grey than go bald.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? At least you have some.
Exactly.
Yeah, the problem with going grey.
Yeah, but anyway, Rose Boyle hairstyle, that's the one.
Just don't go grey in your 30s. I think if you start to go grey when you're into your 40s, you're aging gracefully then. There's no problem with going grey then, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you call it the Rod Fathers. If I open, I call it the Podfather then.
The Podfather.
Podfather, you know what I mean?
But you have to be careful.
Why?
I think there's a name, Podfather, out there.
Are you sure?
Yeah, yeah, 100%. 100%.
For what, barbers?
Oh, no. It's a podcast.
The Podfather?
Yeah, but is it not? You know when you're painting a name?
Yeah. We never did that.
No, but if you're painting a name, right, does that cover everything? Like, you could say the Rod Fathers.
I know what you mean. So, like, let's say, for example, you had the Rod Fathers Electrical Company, and then down the line, I opened up a fucking barber's and call it the Rod Fathers.
Yeah.
And start clashing. But I'd imagine it would, is it? Come on, you checking that? Yeah.
Well, do you know what?
Because, sorry, Roddy, I looked up a company the other day, right?
Yeah.
And it's a small company. I can't remember what I was getting them, but I remember it's a small company. And I Googled to see where they were, and one come up in England.
Yeah.
And I went, what? So I had to put after Ireland, and then the place I come up,
yeah,
I was looking for come up then.
Well, there's a company that you hire, you go out fishing with them in Spain. It's called the Rod Fathers. It's called the Rod Fathers.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, if I was to open a barber shop, like, if it's in the same business, I don't know, maybe you can't, obviously.
Yeah.
If you open a barber shop or a cafe or a little gaff like that, I'm sure you could get away with it, you know?
Yeah. But then what about, like, if a company wants to branch out? Do you know, like, let's say you did coffee and you want to open up a barber shop then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, you're expanding, and then if you wanted to do construction or whatever,
yeah,
the Rod Fathers and all that, and I don't know.
Yeah.
Siobhan's
looking
up the legal aspects of it all here.
I'd love that now. I'd love a coffee shop.
Why don't you open one up?
Well, do you know what? We're thinking about it. We're just, Rod's home, England and Porrig, and, you know, we're thinking about stuff like that. I couldn't be around all the time, but I'd probably be my best customer. I'd probably be sitting there talking to myself all day, you know what I mean? But I could see it. I went on to a job. My daughter, Sinead.
Yeah.
She's getting the whole house gutted out. She's buying a house, getting it all gutted out. And I went in today and I was holding Cork. Telling was on with yourself tonight. I was holding Cork to all the boys, roofers and carpenters and the whole lot. And the builder came and says, Rod, this will never be fucking finished for your daughter.
Don't
says,
get out.
Get out. We're all sitting on the blocks. Fellas came down off the roof. About 10 blocks all sitting having a crack. Nothing getting done, you know. But I'd say that could be the same. Like, I worked in a bar and my cousins had a bar down in the North Strand or down in Summerhill. And when I'd walk behind the counter, people would come in and should just, you know, give me a drink.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She'd be making no money.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That is right what you're saying about barbers. There is a lot of talking. A lot of there is talking. You know what I mean? I found that, because you have to book in for appointments in barbers now. Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't believe that.
Yeah. So you do see it over the years. I remember it'd be a 30-minute appointment. So you book in at 12, you're out at 12:30. Now it's a 40-minute appointment. Same blade and haircut.
I know.
That's 10 minutes extra chat.
Exactly.
That's what that is. Which is,
I reckon, like a butcher's, right? We had a butcher's where we live up in Laurel Lodge. And, oh, what was his name? Big, big man he was. And he'd go round there with a pound of sausages. He'd come out with 2 stone of steak, right? Black and white pudding. He'd have 2 big shopping bags. He was brilliant. He'd say, it's sausages, you having a few rashers with them? Yeah, throw a few rashers in. Yeah. And you think you're getting them for nothing, and there's rashers flying across the counter. Hey, there's a couple of burgers, a few blah, 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 blah. Next of all, you have 2 stone of me.
And
you're handing 50 quid. Yeah. But he was brilliant. But I reckon, if you're going to be a barber, you have to have personality.
Oh, of course.
Even a barman, you have to have personality, yeah. You know?
There's actually another hypothetical here. It's about a barber's, so I'll ask you this one. I am the assistant manager of a barber's. Last week at closing, there was 4 of us there. Me, the manager, and 2 of the lads. The manager had a nixer that night, off to do a few short back and sides for some mates after hours. He was carrying some gear out to a car when a pigeon swooped down on him and scared the shite out of him. He was so rattled he dropped his stuff, and the trimmers ended up landing blade first into a wet dog shite on the path. Very bad luck. We all cracked up, but then he picked it up, gave it a quick rinse under the tap, and put it down on the table beside where the young trainee barber works. Then he took the trainee's clean trimmers and stuck it in his bag and walked out. He laughed and told us not to say anything. Am I wrong to think he's showing poor leadership here? He's always banging on about standards from haircuts to hygiene, but the minute it's his razor and dog shite, he has no standards at all. What about leading by? What happened to leading by example?
Yeah, that's because in the opposite of that is do what they say, not as I do, wouldn't it? And that's always what the politicians get caught with.
Yeah.
So what are you thinking of that, Roddy? That's a good one.
Well, he was thinking of his few quid on his necks, that's all. He was thinking about, he didn't care about
we're
the customer.
We're going to get the most money.
That's it. He was thinking of that, you know. You can have all these logical ideas and, you know, but at the end of the day, he was saying, brutal, that you couldn't do that. You couldn't do that, you know. Anyway, he shouldn't have left the shop with 4 customers in it. He shouldn't have left the shop. He should have been there till the last customer was finished and locked the door. And that's the way it should work. You know, but look, it's life. Listen, we're in a bit of a mad world. Life is not all, you know, it's not an exact science. You have to duck and dive, and you do. Within reason and within the law-ish, you have to duck and dive to get on. And sometimes you have to, you know, maybe bend the rules a little bit to provide. Now, he could have been going to do 4 haircuts for 4 homeless people, right, as a charity.
But he said he was making a few quid.
Oh, did he?
It says
he was going to make an extra few quid, yeah.
Off to do a few short back and sides for some mates after hours.
Right, well then I'd sack him straight away.
He's the manager.
He's the manager, yeah. And he's at the shaft in the apprentice.
That guy's the manager, and it's the assistant manager who's writing in.
Yeah, well look, listen, we started about the first conversation about management. Everything you've said there about the carton crowd, what was your other one? The deli gang and all that. They all need to come and talk to me about management. I'm going to start the management course. Yeah.
This is what I was thinking, Roddy.
I'm going to start the management course.
Next book.
There's no next book.
The Roddy Collins management handbook.
No.
No.
There's no exact science to it. I mean, you could walk into a room and have an idea how to sort something out, and the dynamic could change in 2 seconds because of someone's humour or something. So you have to be able to flip it. You know, you have to be able to, look, it's about reading people. It's about reading a room. It's about reading a load of football. It's about reading and just not manipulating, but motivating and giving people confidence.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing, giving people confidence. I was at a building job today and I said to the builder, I said, Glenn, you're not a great builder. And he nearly hit the floor. I said, you're a brilliant builder. And he was delighted. Now get that finished from me doctor, will you? But it's all about words. It's like, Calvin, I could say to you, try and take that out of my hand. No, try and take that out of my hand.
Right.
Someone will go for it.
Right.
If I just say to you, take that out of my hand, right, you're taking it. Because when I say to you, try.
Yeah, I anticipate a challenge.
Right. Same in football, man. Yeah. Same in any management, right?
That's a good point he's had to make in there, Sean. You have to give it to him now. Write that one down. Yeah, write that one down. That was a good one.
Well, here, I'll finish it off, right? If I say to you, you're a footballer playing me, and I say, Calvin, if you get the ball, if you get the ball, right, starting off, I want you to go down the line and try and cross it.
Yeah.
So starting off, you're going, if I get it.
Yeah, geez, so that means you might not get it.
Maybe I won't get it.
Yeah, yeah.
And if I do get it, I have to try and cross it.
Yeah.
Right, Calvin, when you get the ball, take it down the line and just whip the cross into the back stick. It's a simple task. Where the other one sounds like, oh, geez, too much. That's management. Do you know what I mean? That's management. Like, how can I say it? Right, I managed a fella one day and I said to him, I was in Carlisle, he was 17 years of age, there was 14,000 at the game. I told you this story before about the mud bat. No. And I put him on, he was only a kid, he was a local, and he wasn't doing what I wanted him to do. So he came over by me and I said, pull your hamstring. What? I said, my hamstring, I wanted to get him back off. I didn't want to embarrass him in front of 40,000 people. So, boom, he hits the deck, comes out in a stretcher. Do you know what I mean? Now I'm taking the plane to him next week. How am I going to do that? Do you know what I mean? So, you know what I mean? Like, he comes out and he's waving to the crowd. He was a local kid. Not Ryan Jack. He played for Rangers. Jack was his name. He's waving to the crowd. I'm going, for fuck's sake, how am I going to get out of this one? You know what I mean? Like, so, instead of embarrassing him, and I tried to help and I said, pull your hamstring. He just go like that and we take off. Oh, no. I think someone's had to shoot him an elephant gun. And it was a 10-minute fucking march around the pitch and a wave to the crowd. So, you know what I mean? It's... That never happened again, you know. But look, management is keeping everyone happy. You have to be ruthless. Ruthless, but honest. If you're ruthless and honest, people will respect you. Even the I mean, for example, I've sacked footballers. Tell them why. And there's no way back. When you make a decision, it's over, it's finished. And I meet them now 20 years in, they go, Rod, I gave you no option, but it was a great time for you. You know, so look, it is
what
it is.
You appreciate the honesty.
Yeah.
Roddy, have you got a... So are you serious about going into management courses?
Well, I've done that talk for... It's up on Facebook. I've never seen it, to be honest with you. Best for Travel. And the feedback was unbelievable. So, listen, my daughter, Niamh, does all the social media and LinkedIn and all that crack. And she says, Dad, would you not go around doing that?
Yeah.
I could do that.
There's good money in it, right?
Fly me plane and drop that in. And yeah. But you know what, Calvin? I'll be honest with you, right? See the money aspect of it?
Yeah.
I've grown out of that. I was a kid running around trying to be the best players contractor, trying to be the best footballer in the world and all that, and worrying about paying me mortgage and all that. I haven't gone past that now. So money's secondary to me.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, as people say, well, I like it, but I don't need it. Yeah. Do you know that kind of way?
Yeah.
I don't have to get up and go, well, I have to go out now and earn blah, blah, blah. I don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah.
And I've done that for years and it was hard.
Yeah.
You know, just
talking. Good place to be in, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I was employing 20 or 30 people and they used to get paid on a Thursday. I'd say the wage bill would be, just say 10 grand. And you were a builder and you promised me 5. Another builder promised me 5. And I go to collect the Thursday tomorrow and you give me 3 and the other fella gives me 4. I'm running around trying to make up the numbers to pay 20 fellas.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I've done all that. Stress and worrying about everyone. And if there's anyone out there listening, no one ever was ever left a penny short or an hour late, ever.
That's something that you can stand over, Roddy. Have you anyone to plug, Roddy?
No. Nothing.
You haven't got a new show coming up?
The Talk Sport.
Yeah.
I seen it up on Instagram. My daughter put it up.
He's available on Talksport now, the Roddy Collins fella.
Yeah.
Blanking us now, Siobhan.
Yeah, I never blank us. I'm going to be doing what you do. I'm going to be interviewing people. I think they want me to do a bit of a...
In what sport? Football or boxing?
Boxing and football.
Both?
Yeah.
Good bit with that.
Yeah. Boxing and football.
Over on all bases there.
Yeah. So they're going to... What I was told on Friday at the meeting, they're going to train me in, but it won't be that hard.
Yeah.
Because I'm capable of talking to people.
We know that, yeah.
Do you know what I mean, Cav? You know, you're doing what I strive to do.
Thanks very much, Joe.
But do you know what I mean? Like, do you know what I mean, Calvin?
No, we...
I want to be able to sit in the studio and say...
Roddy, this is what I say to people all the time. Like, how do you do it? And I'm like, how do you do what? I was like, we're doing it now.
Yeah.
You're just talking to someone.
Yeah.
You're doing it since you're 1 year of age.
Exactly.
How can you not talk to people?
Yeah.
It's that easy.
Yeah.
You're having a conversation with
Calvin,
someone. It's just recorded.
Some people don't find it that easy.
A lot of people don't. And
they find that easy.
And that's sad, buddy.
Yeah.
And especially the way the world is going now.
Yeah.
I think less and less people are talking.
Well, I'll tell you what, right? Football. Say football, for argument's sake. Kids now that play football are like robots because they go around like that all day.
Mm.
Right? I'd footballers from the inner city. Some of the best footballers ever from the inner city. Because when there were kids going on watching, they're always on the watch. they're always twitching and watching that, and they brought them onto a football pitch. They never switched off. Their concentration levels was bang on. But kids now, it's all A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Like, there's no thought process where I'm going to do it this way. That's not the way you do it. And football's gone like that. It's brilliant to watch.
Yeah.
It's like a game of chess, you know.
So you're saying that's falling into society then?
Big
now.
Time. Yeah. 1,000,000%. Yeah. Look, hold on. Everyone Googles everything now.
Yeah.
I mean, I got a sour toe in Spain, and I Googled, and by the time I got halfway through, so I was dead.
Bread, yeah.
I was
diagnosis and all waiting on you, yeah.
My leg was gone, the knee down, you know what I mean? I only kicked a rock, you know? I kicked a rock of a black toe now. I don't remember doing that, because I remember you doing it. You gave a rock a kick anyway. So there you go. So
he must be getting smart with you, was he?
That's it.
So when's that coming out, Roddy?
Well, I think we're filming in January.
Lovely.
So it's a 6-part series. Series, is that what you call a series?
Yeah,
6-part. And I'll be visiting different locations, interviewing different people, and we're going out with a producer and all the equipment.
Lovely.
And I'm looking forward to it. Can't wait.
Are you looking forward to watching it?
I done one reality show with Louis Copeland under duress. He said, Roger, doing it. It was called Celebrity Eurostar singing. We're throwing out the first night.
What did you sing?
We sang Jungle Book, I think it was, King of the Swingers or something. We were like two gobshites, and Louis dressed me, and I was like a deck chair. It was a striped shirt. And I was, oh Jeff, I sing Sinatra and all that. I went in the Helix, and it was full, and it was live on RTE. And the first night you get free here. The next night we sang, and it was me, Louis, John Aldridge, Dahi O'Shea, someone else on the stage, and here's Louis Rod. Next week, when to see the outfits I have, we're going to do this song next week, and blah, blah. And I'm going, this is getting very tight, Louis. There's only me, you, and John Aldridge, and he's a superstar. He can't see, brutal. He couldn't, he was brutal. We got thrown off, John won it. But that was it. But that was it, Calvin. No, it's not with me. Do you know what I'd love to do? You know that going out into the wild, swimming and, you know, like what Bear Grylls and all
Bear
those.
Grylls,
that'd be for me.
Yeah.
I'd love all that. Camping out in the dark.
Still do that? Bear Grylls still doesn't do that, does he?
No, but didn't the kneecap do it?
Yeah, they done it somewhere. Ray Goggins did it.
That's right.
Yeah, but that was abroad. That wasn't here.
Yeah, they done that.
With Leo Varadkar.
Mm. Was it?
Yeah, Leo Varadkar did it as well. Yeah.
Done her up in.
I wanted to do it in when they were down the Hell Week where they brought them down to Cork.
Yeah.
And they don't like the special forces training. Yeah. I'd love to do that one.
And I would burst one of them.
Yeah, but that's what I like about it. The discipline.
No one
really
could shout my face like that.
You need the discipline. You know what
I
mean?
Come on. Well, I have discipline.
Yeah.
But when it's a reality show, you go, come on.
Yeah.
Stop with
it. But it looks great. You know what I mean? Because you do see people, do you ever see, they just, last time I was watching them, you had them bleeding, crawling the muck for 4 hours, just pissing around. That bollocks hurt. They're probably awake 2 days. And the man goes, we have another hour of this. And you can drop out whenever you want.
Yeah.
The man goes, we have another hour of this. 10 of them dropped out and it was finished in 2 minutes.
He bluffed them,
yeah.
I was out one Christmas with the family, Caroline's sisters and all, Jimmy Martin and Bernadette and all. And they were all doing this hell and back.
Yeah.
Right. Hell and back. So yeah, just stop with you. Battle the whole audience, blah, blah, blah. Right. So anyway, is that right? We're training for it twice a week, right? So anyway, my daughter put me in for Sinead. It came round and I says, what? I said, I'm not doing that. You have to deal with that. They're all talking about you. They're all talking about blah, 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 blah. They're all younger now, you know? So the night before, I was out in the lash. I go out in the lash on a Saturday night. I was out in the lash. So next morning, Sinead calls the house. Dad, you're right, we're going. I said, I'm not going. My wife, Carolyn, you better go, all my family, and she meant it. Can't ever tell me to do anything I don't want to do. Rod, please, just do it, will you? I went out there, and it's a hell and back, right? And everyone's helping each other and all. I was pulling fellas by the head, get out of my way, right? And they all help each other with the ropes. Get up, right? I ran around it. This is the truth. I bypassed everyone, tripping them up and all it was, right? And I got in about 20 minutes before the whole lot of them got back. And when I got back, I couldn't find my clothes. So now when we're talking about muck, you're just talking about going through rivers and all, right? And my legs froze and muscle. I went back, this is the truth. I still haven't recovered mentally from that. That was about 3 years ago. No, I'm serious. I'm not joking. When I even heard about that, or the little mini sugar loaf and all that, it was the most hardest, and it was the most dangerous thing, and I wouldn't recommend it. I'm serious, it was unbelievable. It was, yeah.
I hate that little crack though, no?
Well, it probably was, but I didn't do it for the crack. I done it because I was competing with all my brother-in-laws, and I had to do it, and I had to win, and I had to cheat and everything. You know what I mean?
You climbing over. That's what
you
was.
You get to a little hill, and all these do-gooders are going, "Come on, come on!" And they help each other, and going, "Come on, get up your way!" Stripping fellas up, jumping on them, and everything. But we got there, and I won. I was there hero with the family. But yeah, that'd be something for me. That'd be my reality TV life.
Right, so don't fucking ask Roddy to do anything unless it's sleeping out under the stars. That's what he wants.
Yeah.
So Ray Goggins, give him a show.
Yeah.
That'd be good. Tell you, I'd watch that.
No, I love figuring things out.
Like landing planes.
Well, you know, I love being in a forest, right? How do we know where the sun's going to rise in the morning? Where are we going to light a fire? Where are we going to put a tent?
Do you go camping, Roddy?
No, but I go walking in the forest all the time.
Really?
Yeah, I go walking in the forest all the time. But no, I'd love that. You know, just give you an old sleeping bag or even an old coat. I had a friend, right, and he was always mixing up his phrases. He's in the book, right? I won't put him down, he's in the book anyway. And he said to me, "Rod," he said, "did you see that SAS programme on the telly last week?" And I says, "No." He said, "Your man cut her head off the cow and slept on the horse." That's what he said. He cut the hell. What's fucking on about? You know what I mean? They cut a horse open and gutted it. You know that?
Yeah.
And he hid in it. You know that? Mm. That's a survival thing.
Where else was
and
it?
And the same fella said to me years ago, he said, "Rod, I was on the bus, you were walking down the case." This is what he said. He says, "And I seen you, and I grabbed the bus, and when I caught up with you, you were gone." That's what he said to me. He's in the book. He's a character. I know him all my life. Great bloke, but I won't name him. Tom Daly.
There you go. Thanks for coming in, mate. I appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Wrap this one up, Siobhan.
Yeah.
Before we go, we just wanted to give a shout out to Roy Style Furniture for supporting the podcast. Is your gaff overdue some TLC? Sort it all at once with Roy Style Furniture. They've got proper quality stuff, sofas, beds, dining sets, and the house package is unreal. And you're supporting an Irish family run business that actually knows what they're talking about. Plus, they're in Font Hill, Belgard, and now Omni Park as well. Open 7 days a week and late on Thursdays and Fridays in Font Hill and Omni, so there's no excuse. Get down and get the gaff sorted. Right price, right style, right now. Visit www.roystyle.ie and use the promo code GET10 for 10% off.
Talking Bollocks, a Go Loud original podcast. Sponsored by Right Style Furniture. Right price, right style, right now. Visit rightstyle.ie.
Go Loud. Sounds better with us.
Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your whip in it now. Fill your body up in. Walk it hard and slow. When you finish that.
The hip knocker.
Go down, go down, go down, go down.